Now, someone had brought to my attention at one time, said, you know, sometimes you sound like a different denomination. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. When you've accepted Christ, you've become a brother or a sister to all the other Christians. God unites us together in that great, tremendous word that Brother Randy and I refuse to stop using. He commits to us His life through His love. And in committing His life to you and me, through and in His love, He says to us now, I want you to take the love I've given you. I give you the love that is in your heart. It's not an accident that you have the emotions and feeling of love. It's my gift to you. And I realize that an individual Christian walking in a world that despises anything that has the name of God, that despising of God is what every lost person will always have in their heart. You and I must encourage through God's love. It is through the love of Christ that I became convicted. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin. And He does that because He loves us. And He looks at us and He says, Now that you're a part of my body on earth, I need you to understand something. You must, in order to project the vision of love that I have for you and for all creation, you must, in love, unite together. Because as an individual Christian, I can only do what God has called me as an individual to do. You can only do that work. You can only express that love the way God has given you the ability. And God says, now, here's what it's going to take. It's going to take those who recognize my love and have accepted my forgiveness to unite together in love. And in love, any time there is love, there can be no hatred. Love supersedes, overshadows all the evil that is in this world. I'm glad God loves me. I know that God has called each of us to His service in a special way. I just don't know what your calling is. As a Christian, God has called you. He's touched you. If you'll get about your Father's business, the one who loves us so much, I have a feeling that Christian unity in love will far outshadow any of the bitterness that you see down in. Those of you who have been hurt by others, did you recognize at a point in your life to where that the bitterness through that hurt was pushing you back? That bitterness was pulling you down? And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you, this is because I love you. I want you to understand that yes, bad things are going to happen to you. This world does not love you. And you are going to be hurt many times by fellow Christians. You are going to be hurt. And that hurt is going to go to the full depth of your being. But I want you to understand I've overcome that hurt. I've overcome that hurt through my love for you. So therefore, when the hurt has just about broken you down completely, the Lord says, now step over here. Get away from the garbage of life. And then you, on the path that I will give you now, I want you to walk for me. Some relationships on earth will never be mended, folks. Some relationships on earth will never come back together. We're too human. It's nothing foreign to us. It's a part of the human race. But God says, listen, both sides, suck it up and go on. Now, that's what the Marine Corps of. That's what my drill instructors told me in the Corps, but I cleaned it up a whole lot. God tells us, I will give you grace. You know what our problem is? Well, oh no, that other one, they need the grace. Not if your anger and your hurt and your brokenness is still such a part of your life. Then what they've done is keeping you down. That's hatred and bitterness, folks. Get up and go on with your life. One day at a time, one step at a time. 1 Corinthians 13:7. This is the power of love. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Did you see every circumstance? Well, now I want you to picture the human thinking on love. The human thinking process on love does not endure through every circumstance, does it? That's because you got to deal with, you're still a human being. Therefore, the hurt is going to be hurtful. But it is through Christ, through His love. So He says to us as Christians, I've been asked many times, many of them by my elderly mother, now, do you believe a person that could do something like that could go to heaven? And I said, if they're a Christian, they will. And that completely drives her up the wall. So we do that to each other all the time, I guess, just to drive each other up the wall. But think of it. You and I cannot even come close to figuring out God's love for us. Yet from the human standpoint, you know, I love you until you go against something that I believe. Hey, Christian, pay attention. You and I, on a daily basis, multiple times through a day, we go against what God believes. We go against His Word. We go against His love. Now, God said, I want all of you all to get together. And through my love, here's what I want you to do. He's talking about the church body. That's us. I want you to admit that you need each other. You know, that's not easy for us, especially as we get older. You've heard it said, we're set in our ways. I don't know what age they're talking about getting older. I have been set in my ways for so many years. I have no idea when it began. Well, they're set in their ways, it can't change. God's love is the change. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body is a unit. Through it, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. That's the church body. That's who we are. You and I have been so blessed, folks, to have received such a gift from God as to be born in the days of full grace. When Jesus came in Bethlehem of Judea, Jesus ushered in the day of grace. Been going on for 2,000 years, the church age. Therefore, Jesus said, I love you. Even to those who put me on a cross, I love you. To those who spit upon me, I love you. Therefore, we as a church body must love as Christ loves us. We must. We love one another. You're not going to make it on your own in this world, people. Oh, I'm tough. I don't mind being a hermit. Then how come you come out and get around other people? How come you don't stay in the cave? Because it's not normal. It's not even natural. God created us to unite with one another. Right? He created us to express His love to us. And we are the only ones of His creation that can love Him back. So He says, I love you. And I want you to watch over one another. But I want you to watch over each other through my love, not through yours. We're not so lovable a lot of times. Even on Sunday, you get up and the kids are slow at getting ready. Moms so often don't sound very lovable. And dad's just trying to get out before he catches it. Need a little help here, you know. Well, that's what God says to us as the family unit. God says, I want you to admit that you need each other. You need that Christian beside of you. You need that relationship. You need each other. Next, this is a good one. Through love, accept our differences. Have you noticed that we're different? Yeah. Have you noticed that everyone doesn't see eye to eye on anything? Have you noticed that? Christians. We get a scripture and we read it. Well, this is what that means. And the next Christian says, well, that's not what that means. Here's what it means. And you go down the line, Christian, you've got all of these different meanings. And the question is, how can this be? Because God created each of us different from the other for a purpose. We are not robots. God said, you're going to need this personality to take care of this personality, and vice versa. So therefore, none of us will see everything eye to eye. The only difference in that is salvation through Christ. One Savior. One God. One salvation. One. And His name is Jesus. Romans 15:7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, again, you all know how much I love grouchy people. I do. I mean, it's just something about a grouch. I just love to sit around. And in doing so, in reading and studying, you will be surprised at how many of the prophets, if not all of them, were considered grouches. Why? Because, well, aren't you ever pleased? Prophet isn't. That prophet is walking in God's calling. Therefore, as they walk, they can't be pleased simply because as soon as they witness the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit touching the hearts, and then that congregation is united together, that prophet moves on down and goes straight back in to the same problems that have taken place since the first century church. There's nothing new in our day compared to the first century church. Fighting, griping, false testimony. Nothing has changed. Do you know why? We're human beings. But when Jesus touches our heart, he says, I want you to understand that I love you, but I am going to work in you through discipline of my word, strength for you to carry on and walk through. I want you to love when you're not loved. Is that easy? Love when you're not loved. I want you to feel the pain of others when you have no pain. I want you to think when others refuse to think like you used to refuse to do. I want you to lead in love. I want you to pay attention to the differences. But I want you to accept those differences in each other. Or those of you, the parents, who have multiple children, the moms will always say, my aunt had 14 children. God bless her. And not a one of them, she said, was the same. Not the same personality. Now, everyone was different. Have you heard them say, if I had had my second child first, there would have only been one. Have you ever heard that one? Well, God says, I want you to understand your differences. But congregation, we have to get it together. You're not going to be able to make it in this world without each other. You're not. The differences is what gives us so much courage and boldness. As you all know, my wife is talking about all the time, and you see me sitting down quiet. Those are the kind of sermons she wants to go to sleep on. But we need different personalities. We attract, right? Is it not the differences that attract us? Should it not be that way in the family of God? Shouldn't we not understand that God sent that particular personality right to that congregation for a purpose? Therefore, allow God's work to be done in our heart. Allow God's power to be poured out among us and us to unite together in brotherly love with power and the strength of Almighty God. Not as a club, as a church. As a church to where the book has already been written. It's not Robert's Rules of Order. It's called the Holy Word of Almighty God, the Holy Bible. God says, pay attention to me. I love you. Pay attention to me. I love you. Do you ever find it hard that here you are all the way down in the ditch of life, and as you're down in that ditch of life, you start thinking about, how did I get here? And then the more you think, the more you think, and then you say, God, where were you? How did I end up down here? That's a question you must ask yourself. And then when you speak to God, God will give you that answer also. Well, you put yourself down there, Larry. Wasn't me. I told you to get on this path. I told you that in the path of the world, that in the roads of the world, there are a lot of chunk holes. Go back and forth to Louisville on the interstates. You're dodging more of a broken highways than I dodge of skunks trying to go down to the White Mills area, 62. And I think, You know, our lives so often are filled with those holes, and we ignore them. God says, that's the difference. The difference is in what you ignore and what you pay attention to. How did I get in this mess? God didn't do it. How will I get out? He's the one that gets down in the ditch of life and says, okay, are you ready again, 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 again? And we said, yes, Lord, I will not let it happen again. We start lying to God before we get out of the ditch, knowing that our human tendencies are to sin. It is human. But God said, I want you to look above your human existence. For what you think is so real to you now, that is not reality. The reality of life is what you cannot see. The reality of my love is what you do not see. You search for love where you can feel good. God expresses His love when we don't feel good at all. We come to church and we say, you know, I really felt good in church today. Okay? Don't leave the Lord behind when you go out those doors. For the love that Christ has for you in here is the love that you will take with you throughout your journey in this world. But we're always going to need each other. We can never become so strong. You'll never become so wealthy. You'll never become so powerful that you don't need each other. Now here's the big one I want us to look at. Through love, allow for individual fault. Oh, for years here, folk, I've been hooked on the computer chips, realizing that not all of us have the same chips. And not all of us have the right chips. Each one of us are individuals. Therefore, my faults that I might have, they are individual to me. And when I allow the faults to push me away from the Word of God, it is up to my fellow brothers and sisters to love me back in, not push me away. I despise the statement from Baptists that said, well, no, they fell out. They were never really a Christian. Really? Really? I remember being asked the question on an interview I was giving about the prison system a few years back. Well, now, Chaplain Vance, how many do you really know accepted Christ when they came down at the chapel in the prison? Can you tell me that? And I said, I can tell you this. I cannot know any more than that pastor when they give an altar call in a church. I have no idea. That's not my job. That's not my calling. My calling is to preach God's Word. Holy Spirit convicts. How will I know whether somebody's real or not? I cannot see into the heart of that individual. Some of the greatest problems I ever had in the jail and prison ministries was not with my inmates, but with the volunteers who were to minister to them. I didn't understand that. I do today. Because, see, Christian, you're a human being. You got that? You have to realize that. I know that a part of me is spiritual. That's the part that's going to live forever. My mind is going to be in that grave with the rest of my body if it's still there. It's going to be there. The real me, the real you, is not ever going to see death. That's a promise. Well, do you understand it? No. Do you understand why God even loves you? Can you even understand how your wife can love you or your husband can love you? Have you ever thought about that? Without grace, the love of Christ, love will die. Hate will succeed. You and I do not have a right as God's family, united together, to represent His Son Jesus. That's what we are as the body of Christ. You cannot represent Jesus on your own. You can only partially, because you're only a part of the body. We have to unite together. And in that unity, we represent Jesus. As individuals will walk in and meet you, though it may be dislike with me. Preacher, I don't like you. I can understand that. I'm very forceful, I don't mind going toe-to-toe with anyone. Is that wise? Most of the time it's not. But that's who I am personally. Preacher, I really don't care anything about you. But I love Court, so I've come to church for him. Ever so often they say, but, you know, I like Brother Randy, but now he's been leading so long now that don't like him either. I want you to think about it. Did I read the false? Ephesians 4:2, be patient with each other. Oh, I have a lot of patience for that man over there. Making allowances for each other's faults. Are you defending him? You better believe it. Not only that, I'll die for him. I'll take a bullet for him. Is that not what we did in combat? Our brothers and sisters? Would we not be ready and willing to give, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love? You have a child. That child gets rowdy. And you wish that that's all that child did, was get rowdy. But that child makes a lot of mistakes in the growing process. Mom, Dad, what do? You make allowances for that. Well, they'll eventually grow out of that. You know, kids, listen to me. You young folks, I used to be that way, and everybody in here used to be. I haven't forgotten it. The reason your parents are telling you don't do it is because they know what happens when you do. And they're wanting to make allowances for you. Parents, do you remember when that teenager first got their driver's license? And you're telling them at a time to get in? What was going on? You were praying. Lord, please protect my child. Father, look in their mind and you know they're going to have a bad case of the stupids. And only through you, Father, and you lay awake, Mom and Dad, in that bed. Lived on a gravel road, you're just waiting and listening for the gravel. If the door squeaks, don't you dare ever grease it or oil it, because that way you know son, daughter is home. And you go to sleep. Do we not understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looks at us that very same way? He looks at us and he says, I'm not going to go to sleep on you until you're home. I'm not home yet. I got a great family down here on earth, but I'm not home yet. Neither are they. We'll be soon. Each one of us shall. But the gift that Almighty God has given you was a gift from His will. That love that supersedes all understanding. It's the touch of the Master. who looks to you and understands your fault, your weaknesses, your what you see as failures. And he always gets down there and says, are you ready to get up again? Again, again, again. That will happen to us until we leave this body. For this human condition is sinful. God says, I see now that there is nothing but evil in the hearts of man. Nothing but evil. The harder we try to get it right, the more we mess it up. That's why we need each other. But we don't need each other to condemn one another, but to love one another. God's word says, be in prayer for those who have fallen today. For tomorrow, it may be you that falls. We need to understand that. Because at the bottom of each fall, each pit, you find Jesus. Anywhere there is a baby, a child, you find Jesus. You watch those children. You protect those children. But you want a little touch of what heaven is? Love those children and watch them love you back.